For any of y'all who don't know, he's married to my daughter, Shelby. And so what an honor. What an honor to have him here and a part of our family. Oh, you don't need that? I think
that. Thank you. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Well, hello, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? We made it. You know, whenever we have to jump forward, I'm against time change. Whenever we fall back, I praise the Lord, right? Like, oh, yes, this is the way it's meant to be. And then I catch myself on those days. I'm like, it can't be 7 o'clock already. I'm like, oh, man, today was rough. But we all made it. If I'm up here yawning, that's just the way it's going to be today. But I haven't gotten to teach in, I think, a month. I think I taught last month. We've had a lot go on, especially at this church Daniel talked about. We had Pastor Mohan in. He taught 3 services for us. And something I was thinking about, if you didn't get to attend these services, one, we got his teaching on Sunday on our website or on our podcast, on Apple Podcasts. But also, what was amazing about this time, and he always does it, but he did it in almost a bigger scale, I felt like, this time, is he prayed for a bunch of people. And so it's not like you missed out. He imparted so much to us, and we have a bunch of people who received or felt God in such a powerful way, and they want to share. And so I'm so excited. I've been talking to a few people who it was the first time God had ever touched them, and God moved powerfully with this. It was just so exciting. We had a few of them share their testimonies on Wednesday night, and that was fun. Like, it's you know, I've been around a bunch of people, you know, I help with the youth, and I get to see young people experience God's love for the first time. But whenever you get to see an adult, just God just touch their lives and encounter them in a different way and give them peace, like, it's wild. Like, you don't, you know, especially in my job, I see so much, you know, brokenness and people just lost, and then get to see people just God touch and speak to and give direction. It was awesome. So we'll have, at the end, we'll have prayer teams up here, and just if you want some of that, come on up, because we're excited to give it away. So we had Pastor Mohan, like Daniel said, we had a few funerals, and one, and I talked about it a little bit last time I was up here, but one that really touched us was Miss Vicky, and it's hard not to bring her up. You know, it's been she impacted my life in such a way. If you knew her, she was here whenever we had anything. She was serving. She was laughing. She was having fun. And I was just thinking about it. And what's crazy is I can't remember how many years ago. It was before I was married. Whew. That's a long time ago. That's a different Tyler back then, right? And I was her helper. And I loved her because sometimes we'd get some rough kids in there, and she'd be like, Tyler, we got this rough boy over here. And I'm thinking, keep him in line, you know, like, do this. And she goes, he needs a lot of love. And I'm like, just the way she went about games, in which I did games in the youth for a long time, and the way that she taught me games and how to love people and how to encourage kids, it just completely changed the way I saw things. And to say that I use what she taught me in those years, because I helped any year, I was like, I'm with Miss Vicky. Like, it was a bidding war. It was like, oh, but I was quick, man. They'd be like, who are you? What the hell? Miss Vicky. And so you had to be quick with it, you know. And she would always do elaborate rooms. Like, she wanted a whale one year, and she made a shark out of cardboard boxes. And I'm like, we could just set up tables. Like, that's my mind. But she was all about it. She wanted those kids to encounter God. She wanted to love them, because she realized that there's a potential that they aren't experiencing that. And so she wanted, when they were with her, she wanted them to feel loved. And that's something that she spoke and she said, and that I've just carried. And I've tried to apply it in every area that I get to serve. And she's taught me more in those few years of serving with her than the majority of my life I've brought stuff. So, man, just a powerful person. She's going to be greatly missed, but we're celebrating her, right? And so, but so that happened. And then we also had a youth camp, and it was incredible, guys. We had, I think, like 25 youth. And so the majority of them didn't come to from Grace, right? And so these kids come from, you know, different churches. Majority went to churches, and we saw God move and touch their lives and just speak love into them. And that's what we want. We wanted our goal was to train and equip these youth. We wanted them to be rooted is what our goal was. And it's to plant, to tend the soil, to plant the seeds that God's called them to, and then not just that, but to build that foundation of the root system. And man, we got to encounter kids. We got to have a lot of fun. I was with the guys a lot, and you know, the girls are over here crying and just singing praises to Jesus. And we have great encounters with guys, but also they're constantly, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom. Like, hey man, like we were just like, you just had time. Hey, man, I gotta do this. So, but it was so much fun. I was actually thinking about it. I've been with the youth group as an adult leader for 13 years now. Goodness, guys, that feels a long time. I'm getting old here. But just amazing each year to see these guys grow, impact. We got to actually, one of the first times since COVID, we had one of our youth that has been attend as a youth adult leader. First time we've had that, and he did an amazing job. His name's Andrew. He just did an amazing job. Anytime I needed something done, that guy was right there. And so getting to raise and teach these guys and just see them start stepping out, guys, that's what it's all about for me. And so, but moving on to my teaching, today, I get the amazing opportunity to teach on, each Sunday we teach on the good news. And normally it's the first Sunday, but we had Mohan in here. And whenever Mohan comes in here, we're like, say what you're hearing. Say, you know, go at it. And he always brings it. And so I get to teach on the good news. And what Pastor Allen's been doing the last couple of months since the beginning of the year is we've been trying to explain what that means. And so as I was thinking about that, I remembered when I first came here and God started speaking to me. And, you know, as a young boy, my family, we moved around a lot. I went to a lot of different churches. One year we'll be moved here and we'll go to, a church similar or close to like this one. And then next year we'll move here and we'll be at a Baptist church, it was just a lot of different pools, right? And growing up in church, you know, I could memorize them verses. I could get them awards. Hardest thing was sitting still. You know, I'm an active person. They'd, you got to sit still. And sometimes it would work. Sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes I'd get spankings. We all been there. Come on now. but, you know, I knew all the information, right? But there was like this disconnect. I knew I could memorize stuff. I could quote stuff. I've been taught to sit still. I've been taught all this stuff, but I never felt it here. And so as I grew up, I'm looking around and I'm seeing, you know, people come into church one way, smiling, happy, and then leaving church and they're completely different and there's brokenness and there's all this stuff. As a young guy, I knew, like, I was like, what is up with this? I didn't know the words. I didn't understand anything about it. I just knew that there was something going on. You know, like, when the doors, pastor finished, and the doors opened, it was, like, almost impossible to get out the door because everyone's just going, right? And so I knew there was something different, right? Like, I knew this knowledge, and even as a young individual, I was like, this can't be all that it's cracked up to be, right? And this person described it as, so many times we view it as Jesus died on the cross and we're forgiven, and that's where the story ends. But with what we've been pursuing, that's not the end of the story, right? And so as I was going through this, I knew in my heart that there was so much more. I just had no words, had no understanding, and all reality, I was hoping there was more, because if there wasn't, than all the brokenness, all the hurts, all the emotions that I was experiencing, there was just no point to it. Like, there was no release. There was no way of getting about that, right? And so then I came to Grace. And we came, and I remember I sat back, I think, second from the back row, you know. That's where we sat. And I was young. I can't even remember. I think I was 13, 14. And so we're here, and I'm starting to see, and I'm hearing people speak, and we stayed consistent. We went to, you know, we went to the Reich cell. We went to a cell, and I just started hearing about this way of living life with God that wasn't like anything I had heard up to that point. It wasn't just I checked the box and then I fill a seat, but it was that I was called and placed here for a reason. And so as I started experiencing this way of thinking, I started seeing this, and man, I was hooked. You know, we went to youth camps. I saw God move. I saw God change people's lives, and that was it for me. I was cooked. That's all it took, right? And so as we fast forward years later, and I back then didn't have words for it, right? And so the past probably, I don't know, 6 months, Pastor Allen has sat down and he has taken the 3-4 decades of serving this body, of pursuing God, and he's narrowed down why Grace Fellowship exists, right? And let me tell you, as someone that got to see him weekly and him talking through it and him talking to us about what he was thinking, that wasn't a small task. That he takes this serious. It's to him, it's the difference between life and death, because he wants to speak what God's saying. And so he sat down and he took all this time. That's all that was on his mind. Like, as we talked about it, like, he was just focused. And one, I'm so thankful that you did that, because that took a lot of time. Not only that, but like, to sit down and look back over your life and to choose one thing that your church is pursuing and why you exist, that's tough, guys. And so he came up with this idea that we exist to share the good news. And so what we're doing now is we're taking that as a team, we're teaching once a month, and we're trying to break this down so that we can apply it, right? And so, one, what a great way of saying it, the good news. And so as I was listening to Pastor Allen, and I've been just hearing him speak about this, myself, I have to break stuff down. And I have to word it in almost the simplest form, right? And so whenever I was thinking about the good news and hearing what he was speaking, I wrote something down. I'm going to read it. And it said, that we believe that we get to live the good news that Christ died on the cross and that he rose in power so that we can live the life God intended, right? And so what that implies is that he died, but not only died, he rose in power. And now I get to live the life that was always intended, that was always meant to be. And now I don't have to live to the same standard or the holding or what the world is around me. Because let me tell you, like, as through work and stuff, life is chaotic, guys. I don't know how many times people come up to me and tell me all the chaos that's going on in their lives, you know, whether it be relational, financial, kids. And you know what's crazy is that we all know this, and they can read it on me too. I can see when somebody's having a bad day. I'm like, oh man, something is going on at home. Because they come in and it's all over them, right? And so I don't have to live in that standard. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there's relationship stuff going on in my life. Yes, I'm raising 3 boys and I'm doing the best I can. And in a lot of aspects, sometimes a blueprint for raising godly children that like are going to grow up and love the Lord. We have great examples here, but sometimes it is difficult to find that, right? And so my passion, one of my things in life, is I want to raise my boys to be men of God who love God with all their heart, who go after their callings no matter what God tells them. Like, they go after what God tells them to do, and they live the life they're supposed to be living. In freedom, right? And so that's my heart. I want my boys to live in freedom. And so part of that is that I have to start walking in this myself. And so the good news is that I don't have to bind myself to the things that used to bother me. I don't have to live in the way. I get to live in the freedom that God's given me. I love this. I was reading the Bible the other day, and God just spoke to me. He said, the good news allows us to have dominion over strongholds in the world. There's sickness, disease, trauma, and any other darkness that the devil uses to kill, steal, and destroy, right? And so that's the focus of him. He wants you to sit and only partake in part of that good news, right? He just wants you, all right, I'm forgiven, and now I'm going to wait. And then that's just a way to get to heaven. And in reality, there's so much more. You know, God was speaking to me. He said that we get to walk in joy during those hard times. And I can look back on me and Shelby's life, and as we've gone through marriage and stuff, and, you know, yes, shocking as it may be, I can be difficult sometimes. Pastor Adam, Pastor Harvey, all these guys know that have been around me. I'm sometimes stubborn. I'm sometimes joke around and when I shouldn't joke around, you know. I get myself in trouble. I get the boys wound up at bedtime. Guilty. I get the boys, the other day, I was making their lunch. And so I acted like somebody taking an order. And then I acted like the chef. Well, then they got rowdy, obviously, because I'm being rowdy. Then I acted like the bouncer. And then I, at one point, had to go in and call in the real dad and tell everyone, hey, you need to calm down. You know, I had to, like, walk out of the room, come back as dad. And Shelby goes, Hudson's about to take a nap. And I'm like, mistakes were made. You know, I'm not denying that it wasn't a mistake. I'm not denying that I went overboard. But once you get in there and you're three characters in, like, you can't just stop. So, but, yeah, so I can be difficult. You know, I can, relationships are tough. We all have families. I love my family. But at the end of the day, there's still those times and there's moments to where it's really hard. And it's easier, and you see it so many times, just to push people away, shut them down, and to live life on your own. But that's not the way we were made to live, right? That's why our Wednesday night thing is such a big deal, is we get groups of people together that have differing beliefs, differing ways they live, and differing all this in every aspect. We get them together, and they say, you know what, God is good, and I choose to participate in this, and we pull from each other, right? And so powerful. If you don't come on Wednesday night, guys, please come. They do such a, I'm normally with the youth, but what I get to hear from the kids groups and the adult groups, God is touching people's lives, and we need you there. And so, but oh, that's what it was. So I said that we don't have to live that way. And so I was reading the Bible, and God spoke to me through Luke 10:19. And it said, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all powers of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. And so right from the get-go, I don't have to fear, right? Because if I love the way Mohan says it, if God's called you to do it, then it's going to happen, right? You don't have to second guess. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to, like, if God says, hey, Tyler, I want you to do this. Or, hey, you know, Josh, I want you to do this. Well, then there's going to be a way. I love the way this one song says it. I think Kim Walker Smith says, I think her last name now is Smith, but she sang it, is that when it feels like a door closes or a window closes, God always opens a door. And so whenever a time frame in my life, it feels like I can't achieve this or I can't do this, God always opens the door. I think about Paul whenever I think about people in my life that are lost and that need Jesus, need to hear this, that the good news is that we're saved and we get to walk in power and freedom. Whenever I think about these people that I'm really close to in my life that aren't walking this out, I think about Paul, right? You know, that's a crazy story. Let me tell you, as wild as these people are in my life, as crazy, as much pain as they've caused, they aren't killing people. One, positive, right? Two, God touches his life and he impacts, if you look at the Bible, he impacts the way we do life as Christians. Like the way that he left his mark in such a way that generations after him have received from God, have been able to benefit from that. And so one, God, man, these people in our lives that are lost, that are broken, they aren't too far. All they need is the good news. All we need is that little bit, them to hear, God to touch them, God to speak to them. That's all they need. And so what we don't have to live to that standard. We get joy in the hard times, peace in the storms. We get to be living kindness in the midst of all the adversities and love for the broken. When I think about, and God spoke to me this way, when I think about and look around about the idea of living without that idea of good news and why it's so important. To me, God uses analogies, and he told me, Tyler, it's like living in a brand new house with no power. And the bill's paid, they're just, the connection's not there. And so what's crazy about that is, let me tell you, everything in that house works. It's brand new. Everything, the plugs, the stove, the fridge, everything. What the problem is it's not the problem with the house, it's the connection, right? And so as we live our life and we aren't connected to God, then it's not the stuff it's not the way he made us, it's the connection, right? He wants us to connect to him and to walk out in that. And so God always speaks to me in stories and stuff. And so he also said that, you know, as the storm rages around us, we get to sit in the presence of God. And as people, when people see us and look at our lives, it's almost like that analogy of the lighthouse, right? You know why the lighthouse works? It's because it's not moving with the sea. It's stationary. It's a point that once you see the lighthouse and it's not moving, you know that there's refuge there. You know there's something different about that, right? In the storm, when a sailor's lost and they see that lighthouse and they're clinging on for their life, they're praying, they're hoping, and then they see that lighthouse, they have hope. And so as we live our life, the reason why we need to walk in this and the reason why we need to walk in power and to walk out living this way is because people around us, they need it, guys. If I look, there's so much, I keep saying it, but there's so much brokenness. I run on people all the time. You know, I've done many calls after somebody committed suicide or when somebody attempted, and the brokenness that's there, one, the brokenness by the person if they weren't successful, and then two, if they were, the brokenness of the family, guys. I'm telling you, like, that is wild. It's crazy that I can stand here in perfect peace and walk with God and speak to God, and then three streets over, somebody could be debating that, right? And so that's why it's so important that we grasp onto this, what Pastor Allen's been just pouring his life into, this good news, is because people need y'all. People need the you that is walking in connection with God. They need the you that carries that good news. Let me tell you, there's so many people that are just looking for one strand of good. There's people, you know, I've talked to somebody at work just the other day. It's that we're designed to walk in connection with God. And so when we don't, we try to fill that void, and we fill it with everything we can get our hands on. And then when we get to the last straw, let me tell you, the generation we have of young people and people that I get to see, they're trying everything. They're trying everything that they can get a hold of because they need that spot filled. And then they're getting to the point where the devil's in their ear speaking to them that they're not good, that they were made wrong, that they need this, they need that, people hate them, they're better off dead, and they just are blasted with this because it's the voice that they're hearing, right? And really, whenever I love it with the way, you know, walking in this idea of good news fully in what God's called me to be, I can notice whenever thoughts aren't His. And so whenever I'm walking this out and something says, hey, Tyler, you aren't good at speaking. One, you know, I'm not the most fluent, I know that, but also I know God doesn't speak to me that way. God doesn't, you know, when He says, hey, nobody, you know, this person hates you or nobody loves you, well, that's not the way you speak to me. That's not the standard in which you've set in our life. That's not the standard that this relationship has set. And so whenever those voices and those thoughts come in, it doesn't match the good news that He's spoken to me, that He loved me so much that He sent His Son so that I could walk unashamed of the gospel and walk in power. And so as I think about this, you know, the reason why we need this is it's because whenever God saw all this brokenness, He placed you here because you're the answer. Right? You're called to make a difference. Like Paul, he made a difference. He left his mark. You're called to restore relationships and restore people. When God saw broken people, I love it the way this guy described it. He said that when God sees the brokenness and everything going around, He's not afraid because He placed you here. Right? There's people in this room right now. We had the cardboard testimony. Absolutely powerful, guys. The stuff that was on there, the things that y'all have overcome, incredible. Like, guys, it was somebody came up to me afterwards and said, man, that was hard to sit there and not be crying because what God's done in y'all's lives is powerful. Now, me standing up here, y'all have a part to play, right? Those things that God set you free, now you have a voice. God's given you an avenue. You're here to restore. And so many times we write ourselves off. You know, it was easy as me, like I have a passion that God touches the school systems. I was homeschooled. It'd be easy for me to write it off. But I have a passion because I want to see God in the schools. I want to see God move. And people are like, oh, it's so dark, it's so this. Yeah, that's not the standard in which God's spoken to me. God says there's good news. And so if He's given me a passion to see Him move, then He's not going to close a door. And so as you sit here in your life and you're like, Tyler, I've done all this, I've done that, I've done this, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you answered, you listened to God, you heard what He said, and you're pursuing Him. And now what He's going to do is He's going to use you, right? He wants to use y'all. Because restoring people, that's something that we do out of love. I think sometimes people miss it and they want to sit there and, well, I have everything perfect, so I'm going to speak against this person. And that's not the case. It's through the broken past that got healed that I'm able to have love and compassion for people to help them out, to help them here. You know, something that I'm passionate about is that I grew up around a lot of broken families. And something I'm very passionate about is, one, I want to walk in a relationship in a family that gives people hope. But two, I want to show people how to walk out that. I want to walk people through that. I want to speak into people's lives. Even at work, my coworkers, there's a lot of people that have broken families. And so I don't know how many times people will be giving advice on raising kids. And I'm like, oh man, that's not a good idea, guys. Like, you know, and then those people who are getting the advice, like 9 times out of 10, they come to me after everyone gets done talking away from everyone and goes, hey man, I have a couple questions. And we get to work through stuff, right? And so I'm passionate about God using families. I'm passionate about this. And so I want to restore that. You know, there's a lot of broken stuff in my life right now as far as relationships. But at the end of the day, I believe that God's placed me here for a reason, that I have a voice for a reason, and I want to choose to use that voice to speak love and compassion. Because the bridge I want to build for people to come back is that I always loved them. Not that I loved them when they were here and then when they left, I hated them and spoke bad about them. And then when they come back, I loved them. That's not the standard in which God spoke to me. That's not the standard in which he lived. And so y'all have such a part. Y'all are called to leave your mark, guys. Never, don't write yourself off, right? Your journey is amazing. You know, you're where you came from. You know how powerful it is that to overcome something? You know how people are longing just to get over the things that are in their lives, but have no idea. You know how many people that I've talked to that have no idea how to get out of where they're at? And some of it might be like anger. Like, I'm so angry all the time. Hey, man, that's not good. Like, you don't need to be like that. Hey, I'm just, you know, I can't, me and my wife are arguing all the time. Or my kids, I have no idea what to do with them. You know what? God's given us an answer, and it's us, it's y'all, right? And so as people bring these things, as we hear these things, I challenge y'all to stay intentional about this, to state that y'all, the good news, God gave you the good news. God's blessed us with relationship in which we are at, right? And so through that, as people bring these things, I love the way we used to tell the youth that we're called to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. And so we aren't there when people pour out all their junk to tell them, yeah, you're right, you should hate them, right? We're there to set, to change the temperature. We're there to change the atmosphere. And so through the revelation of what God's spoken to you and the freedom that he's released you in, we get to step in that. And so, and as just as today, I want to release y'all into that. You know, I want y'all speaking into people's lives. I want y'all, like, y'all have all the freedom to release what God's called you to be and what God's spoken to you and what God set you free in into other people's lives. You don't need a little card. You don't need a checkbox from, you know, walk up to Pastor Allen, am I able to speak to you? Check or X, you know. You get to do it. Right? God's placed you. God's spoken you. God's given you freedom. I love the way we don't do that. It was another church that somebody mentioned it. But someone got saved, and then 2 weeks later, they were doing a small group of people who just got saved that week, and they just had to stay 2 weeks ahead of that person. Like, hey, man, like, if you're here and you're hearing this, you're involved. We draw you in, right? And so I was praying about how to make this practical. And I think the biggest thing is that we need to take a step, right? And so as I was praying about it, how to accomplish this, how to take the good news that passed around and the pastors and the vision that we have here and bring it into our lives and start walking that out, is one, if you've never chose to follow God, hey, man, today's a good day, you know. So we'll have prayer teams up here. If you have a friend here that is following God and you came here and you aren't, talk to them. They'll pray for you, right? And so if you've encountered his love and Holy Spirit or never encountered it, today's another. It's a great day. We want you to encounter the love. Mohan prayed for people, and like I said, first time ever getting to encounter God's presence and the love, and it broke things off their lives, broke, gave them peace, gave them joy, gave them all these things, right? And so today's a great day. And then finally, if you've encountered both of these, but there's just that standard, you know, I've encountered God's love. I've been saved. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just feel like at this moment in my life, I'm not walking that. I'm not at the place to where I believe that God's called me to be the answer to the brokenness around me. Or I believe that God's called me to speak into the lives of my loved ones. Or to speak to the broken around me. Then I just want y'all to come up too. Like I said, we're going to have prayer teams. And so I want to pray for us, and then we'll get released. I'm always at that 11:40 mark, guys. I'm sorry. I'm a time guy. And so I'm like 30 minutes, you know, this, that, 42. I'm a time guy, so but I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to give you just some weekly homework at the end. And so, dear God, I'm so thankful for this group. Just to get to be in their presence, hear their stories, and just laugh with them, Lord. As you know me, God, I love a good laugh. And so, dear God, I just ask that as we move into this time of just coming into alignment with that standard, that good news that you came here because you loved us. I just ask that we just open our hearts and receive, Lord. And I also just pray boldness into these guys and myself, that we're able to take those steps, that we believe that our voice matters, what we have to say matters, and that you've called us to leave a mark and to restore. And so with every eye closed still, everyone stay close, some weekly homework. What I want you to do just for, and I'll give you about 30 seconds to a minute, I just want you to sit here and think about someone in your life who needs to hear this, or needs to, or could use what you have, the freedom, the peace, hope, whether you overcame something, whatever that might be. We ask that you just sit here just for a moment and just ask God to bring that person up in your mind. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time. So, God, as we finish out this week, or start this week, and we just start moving towards where you have us, Lord, I just ask again for boldness. I ask for opportunities. And those people who think that that window of time closed, that they can't have a voice, or the things in their life that are blocking them, we just ask that you just remove those, Lord. And just remind them that you did all this, not because you had to, but because you loved them. And that you wanted to be close to them. You want relationship with them. Amen. All right. We have some prayer teams. If you're on the prayer teams, if you'll come up. Yep. And y'all are going to be released unless Pastor Allen has something to say. He's good. So there's prayer teams up here, and feel free to come on up. Thank y'all so much.